Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I can't speak for nobody else, but I'm glad. And I know for sure that I'm safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. I don't need nobody to tell me. I know for myself that he is my Lord and he is my Savior. And that safety in the arms of Jesus is the safest place that anybody could ever be. Let's give the Lord a hand for the praise and worship leaders. Praise God for them blessing us in song this morning. And we're going to move along and get right into the message. So good to see you all. So good to see you all out on this second Sunday in September as we celebrate our birthday bash. Amen. Amen. It's good. And see all the different decades in dress. See all the different decades in decoration downstairs. And I know we're going to enjoy food from the different decades when we go down today. Amen. But there is a word from the Lord. And I want you to go with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Come and go with me to John, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read a couple of verses in your hearing, and we're going to get right into the message today. And this is a message more about defining what God has blessed us with if we know Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And that is, what is abundant life? Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Bow with me. Father God, we come in Jesus' name. We praise you. We give you thanks. Give you glory, O Lord, for this Lord's Day, this day of worship, this day, O God, of celebrating not just our birth, Lord, but Jesus Christ and all that he did on our behalf. I ask, dear God, today that you would use my mind and my mouth to communicate the gravity of your word, Lord, to the worshipers that are present today. I ask that you would speak clearly, and that, Lord, they will receive your engrafted word with joy, that if there are any lost or in need of a place of worship, Lord, that they will come and join with us in doing the great work that you've assigned to us here at Christian Charity. We love you, we praise you, we give you thanks, and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. As we begin today, be in prayer for the Smith family and the little Journey Miracle Smith who have come into this world. Amen. And parents are excited, and we're excited for this new life that God has sent our way. And I ask that you would pray for our family as we have lost our last auntie on yesterday. My mom's youngest sister, last of the 12, went home to be with the Lord on yesterday. So pray for our family, particularly for her son and daughter and their families. What is abundant life? And on this second Sunday in September, that God has allowed us to be here in this place of worship to celebrate Christ and our birthdays. And when I think about each year of life that we have been blessed to enjoy, I think about the goodness of Almighty God. And believe me, you're only here because God has been good to you. You're not here because you're in such great physical condition, because people in great physical condition have gone on out of this world. Amen. He has let you see this day, and it is in the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 4, that we find the first appearance of the word life. And it simply says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the revelation of the Son of God was also the revelation of the fact that life came from God. And no less than 36 times in the Gospel of John is the word life written or mentioned. Amen. No less than 36 times. And we literally, if we looked at it in the Greek, it would be the word zoe. Because zoe in Greek simply means life. Amen. So I want to share with you three facts concerning life. And the first one is that Jesus Christ provides physical life. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and provides spiritual life. Jesus Christ, amen, the Savior, provides eternal life. In John 4, also, he introduces another key word, and that is the word light. And light is a result of the life that comes through Jesus Christ. The life that Christ gives to us becomes light that we might see our way spiritually. In the word Jesus Christ, amen, God's power and person is revealed to humanity. God is always a source of both light and life. Christ, the Son, the Creator, provides life and light for all of humanity to know who God is and to receive him as the Savior in their lives. And therefore, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And these words came straight from the mouth of Jesus, amen. And they are his promise to everyone who, what, believes on him. It is his declaration, amen, to all who would receive him that they could have a life that is filled with abundance. What Jesus is saying, I want you to experience abundant living. A life where you don't experience any lack. And though I believe Jesus is concerned about our physical well-being and those things that are present in our lives, I believe that in this context that he's more concerned about the spiritual aspect of each of our lives. And in reality, I believe that it's not about quantity, but it's about quality. When he talks about abundance, he's not talking about more things. He's talking about a spiritual quality that should pervade each of our lives and allow us to give him more glory. My brothers and sisters, God don't care how many BMWs, how many Porsches, how many Escalades you might own. He don't care how big your house is, how new it is, or none of that stuff. He don't care how much money that you might have in your account, your retirement savings. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a spiritual quality of life that gives you the full experience of his blessing and gives him glory. God wants us to have not just life, but he wants to have life more abundantly. Now, quality of life is very, very important. I think most of us would look back and think about some rich people who've had all kinds of money, but their health was not good. There were other issues with them in their lives that would not allow them to enjoy the possessions that they had acquired. But now, the life that God wants us to experience is, first of all, a life where we have salvation and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And then secondly, where we have a solid family, where we experience good health, we have sound minds, amen, and we are able to do those things that are really necessary for us to be able to honor and give him glory. And Jesus said, I came to give you better quality of life, one that is more fulfilling, one that will give me greater glory. And he uses the Greek word parousia, which means super abundant or overflowing. That's the life that God wants each of us to enjoy, and it's based on not a human standard of quality, but a standard that is given in Scripture related to the spiritual essence of every believer's life. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well in John 4, and he said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He was offering her a life with greater purpose, a life that had greater value, a life that was much better than the life that she was living. It would be a life that was overflowing with divine quality, amen, and with it, he was letting her know that the life that you're going to experience if you drink this water is one that will result in you having eternal life, first of all, and it will impact others who you come in contact as that well of water flows over in your life. See, when you think about it, she had quantity because the Bible says she had five husbands. But I assure you that in that case, that did not equate to quality. Because Jesus said, amen, that the one you got now really isn't your husband. Amen. She had abundance in that sense, and she thought she was living her best life until she met Jesus. Amen. And then you see how Christ converted her, because when he got through talking to her, she went into town and started telling everybody, come see a man, amen, who told me everything that I ever did. Come see a man who has changed my life, and now I know what it means to have abundance. Then let me take you a little further over into John in chapter 9. You remember, see, and this is how Jesus works. Sometimes he takes care of our physical needs, and then he goes on to take care of our spiritual needs. There was a man that was born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus cured him, healed his eyes, amen, allowed him to receive his physical sight. And then he went back to him later in John 9, verse 35, and he asked him a simple question. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Very simple question, but a very pertinent, a very relevant, a very essential question to a person's spiritual well-being. He had given him his physical sight, but Jesus knew he was still spiritually blind. So he went back to him And he asked him the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? And when he said, yes, I believe, his spiritual eyes were opened. When we think about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the light of the world, amen. We ought to think about the fact that his desire for us is that we live a life that is above just the normal mediocrity that the world gives to all of us. And see, with the world, their standard is that, you know, get all you can and can all you get. But for Jesus, he wants us to receive and then use what he gives us for his glory. And sometimes that only comes through being a blessing to other folks. See, if we just hold on to it, and then we only use it to be a blessing to people who we want to control or have under our authority, for lack of a better term, then we're not fulfilling the call of living an abundant life. But what Jesus does, he still offers to every man, woman, boy, and girl, amen, abundant life, a life of worth, one that has his power, one that is filled with his strength, one that is filled with the presence of Almighty God. Many times we pray and say, Lord, I want abundant life. I want to live a life that pleases you, Lord. And the Lord says, well, you just need to do this. And we say, no, Lord. we tell the Lord no. That doesn't make sense. No, Lord, that's just too simple for me to believe that I really can have abundant life just by doing what you told me to do. What are my friends and my family going to say? Amen. And in so doing, we rewrite the course of our lives when we tell God no. And had this blind man told Jesus no, when he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, he would have rewritten this chapter in his life. If we want the glory of God in our lives, amen, we have to be obedient to the commands of Almighty God. So this man obeyed Jesus without thinking about it, without hesitation. He went on down to the pool, washed his eyes, and returned seeing. And see, you would have thought that the Pharisees would have been happy to see the presence of God revealed in the life of this one man by Jesus Christ healing him of his blindness. But they decided they would take on the character of the devil. They decided they would take on the character of the enemy, and that they were going to steal this man's joy. So they took him in to the court and they interrogated him. You remember Jesus? See, Jesus knew we needed to know how to identify the enemy. And that's why he said that the enemy comes to do what? He comes to steal away the power of God from us. He comes to kill our strength. He comes to distract us, amen, from the glory of Almighty God. And then he wants to steal the blessing of God's presence in our lives as we live day to day here on this earth. They took him in, they interrogated him, and they wanted to destroy his faith. They wanted to kill his testimony. They wanted to steal his joy. So therefore, after they questioned him, they threw him out of the synagogue and let me tell you, sometimes it's good to get kicked out of some places because God ain't in those places. You know, sometimes we worry about if we're going to be accepted in certain organizations. Some organizations, you ought to be glad they don't accept you, because if God's not there, you don't really want to be a part of that. Not if you're a child of God. And with it, they tried to diminish the glory of Almighty God. They and see, that's what Satan does to us today. Amen. See, And see, he wants us to feel that we're self-sufficient. He wants us to feel that the things we have are of our own doing. He wants us to feel like, I got what I got because I'm smart and I work hard. Now, you got what you got because God has been good to you and God has blessed you, amen, to acquire some things in this world. But let me, listen now. The thief, he wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your children. He wants to steal your peace, your comfort, your testimony, the goals that you have established for your life. He wants to overturn the values that you have said that I'm going to live by. He wants to trample on your morals, amen, and destroy the biblical principles that God has placed in your life for godly living. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's the same trick that he played on Adam and Eve back in the garden, amen. And because here they are cruising. And I hope I don't get in trouble. My wife was changing last night, getting ready for bed. She said, Adam and Eve just messed everybody up. I looked over at her, she said, I said, why? She said, because we got to wear clothes. Y'all help me if she get mad now. They were living in the presence of Almighty God under his watchful eye and his care, and Satan came in and just took abundant life away from them. They allowed him to rob, and not just them, but all of us today, is why we have to go through some of the things we go through. Amen. This is what he offered the man born blind. Not only physical sight that would brighten his world and allow him to take care of his own physical need, but he also gave him spiritual sight, amen, and that is the ultimate illumination, and that is spiritual light, amen. And when God comes and does that, and see, in Ephesians 3:20 tells us that he is able to do more abundantly than what we can ask or think according to his riches in glory. So Jesus is our Savior. He's our hope and he's our helper. He's our healer and he's our purifier. Jesus is our shepherd, our restorer, and he is our resting place. Jesus is Lord and he is master. He is our Prince of Peace. He is our wisdom, amen. And my brothers and sisters, when Jesus comes, gloom has to go away and he dries up the tears that are present in our lives. So if you're looking for change in your life today, oh, let me recommend Jesus. Because with Jesus, there's more power. With Jesus, there is more strength. With Jesus, there is more glory. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Let me recommend Jesus this morning. Because, see, you don't have to be deep theological thinking. You don't have to be a theologian to be able to respond to the naysayers. That man who was born blind couldn't speak with eloquence. He couldn't give them some grandiose explanation as to what happened to him. But he did tell them one thing. What I do know is that I once was blind, but now I see. And when God comes in our lives in the person of Jesus Christ, we ought to be able to tell the world that I once was blind, but now I see. Because Jesus, the Son of God, lives inside of me. You would think that this broken, destitute man to see his life transform and the quality of his living enhanced because of his relationship with Jesus Christ would have made everybody shout for joy. But I want you to understand something this morning. First of all, the man had a desire to want to see. He wanted better for his life. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you want better? Amen. Do you want better? Is it a real desire that you want more of the power and strength of God to be present in your life? He wanted to see. And then secondly, he was obedient to the command of Jesus Christ. When Jesus spat on the ground and made the clay and anointed his eyes and told him to go wash, he did it without hesitation. He moved in obedience immediately when Christ told him to go and wash. What is it that God is asking you to do today that you might be made whole? Oh, you think about it now. Thirdly, he gave God the glory for the miracle that had gave him his sight. When questioned, he pointed them to Jesus Christ. And then finally, he believed. And belief in Christ brought him salvation. And with that, he bowed down and worship the God of heaven. Now, remember, abundant life isn't about quantity, it's about quality. And I do mean spiritual quality, not the standards that the world have established. See, abundant life is the byproduct of having eternal life. And we have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did out on Mount Calvary. We have eternal life because he allowed them to nail him to an old rugged cross. We have eternal life because after he died and was buried, he rose on the third day morning, got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. But I said, I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for me. I want every blessing. I want every benefit. I want all the goodness that God has in store for my life. And therefore, I know what abundant life is. It's not having more things, but it's having more Christ. It's about allowing Jesus to have more control in your life. It's about allowing Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, to direct your path. It's about allowing him to have free will to move you in any direction that he desires. I can say this with all sincerity. The best decision I ever made in my life was to surrender fully to Jesus Christ. That was the best decision I ever made. And then the purpose that I would obey him no matter what the cost. I believe that I'm experiencing a life of abundance in many ways. I got my right mind. I got my health. I got my strength. Got a wonderful wife and beautiful family. Got a few dollars in the bank. Drive that old raggedy, that 2012 Ford. And it's getting me here and getting me back. But amen. So the goodness, the abundance of God doesn't mean that I have to have a 2019 or 2020 But I just have to enjoy and be appreciative, be thankful for the life that God is allowing us to enjoy right now. Amen. Amen. But give all the glory to God. It's His love, it is His sacrifice for you that allows you to enjoy His blessings and His blessings. We all worked hard. Some went to school and have multiple degrees. But it is God who allows us to live and move and have our being. Stand with me. There might be somebody here today who now really has a good grasp